Tonight I want you to join me and go, if you would, into the scripture. And we're going to go, I didn't mark my place, but I can find it, I promise you. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And our brother that was leading worship, he said that sometimes God changes me for a message with this particular church. And that's what happened this afternoon. I was going to preach a total different message. And God began to deal with me when I was praying, asking him what to do and how to do it. And he directed me to this passage of scripture. And here's what it says, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Now that's powerful. You see, many times when a pastor goes into a city, he looks for a location. He looks for a place. When God moves into a city, he looks for a man. It could be a woman, but he looks for a person. A single individual person. He is not looking. Tonight he looks in here. And you may be thinking, what could we do? What must we do to help this church to grow? Do we need another building? Do we need advertisement? You may go through a lot of things you need. But you know, when God looks down in here tonight, you know what he's looking for? A person. A person. See, every one of you in here tonight is important to God. And he's looking for someone that he can take and use them as the key to unlock whatever you need in this church. See, some people think, well, if we had more money, we could get this and we could get that. God's not looking for that. He's looking for a person. You know, God can handle everything. The only thing he can't really handle is a person. He has to have their will. They have to come into agreement with him. Not what they want, but what he wants. He seeks for a person. You know, one of the things about living as long as God has allowed me to live, I've seen a lot of wonderful things. And I've seen a lot of wonderful people. How many of you have ever heard the word teen challenge? It is the most effective and greatest drug rehabilitation program in the world. It has an 85% cure rate. I was privileged to serve on committees with the man who had the vision to start it. I was privileged to have him speak at our church on several occasions. We were on a first name basis with one another. And you know what? He was just a little skinny man. Amen. Living in New York. And God spoke to him and says, go into the city and start a work among the gangs. See, listen. Policemen don't even go in among the gangs unless they have a group and they're well armed. Here's a little skinny guy. Amen. At that time, he probably didn't weigh over about 140 to 150 pounds. And God sends him in there among all those mean people. And he was used by God. One man sparked that. And now there are teen challenge programs in every nation of the world. Hallelujah. It's not what I say. It is the government that ruled that Teen Challenge is the best, most effective program for drug rehabilitation in the world. Amen. And I've had men, young men, that their parents were wealthy and they put them in programs that would cost thousands of dollars to get them into those programs. And they didn't have the effectiveness at Teen Challenge. And you know how much it costs to get in Teen Challenge? Desire. Somebody who wants to be free. Who is recommended by a reputable pastor can get you into Teen Challenge. I've sent many to Teen Challenge. As a matter of fact, I operated a Teen Challenge program when I was in New Orleans. And it began to grow. And now then, they have five effective programs in the state of Louisiana. Mothers and dads that have no hope get their children into those centers and see them turned around and delivered, made whole. There are many of them that today they're pastors, evangelists, teaching in universities and colleges across America who one time their own families gave up on them because they were hung by drugs and they went through Teen Challenge. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, when I see things like that, it makes me understand. It doesn't take an army. It takes one person. Any one of these young people over here can get under a burden for a ministry. Cast themselves upon the mercy of God. And you can turn cities and communities upside down with the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's mighty what one person can do. We read the stories in the Bible and we say, oh boy, how Esther was mightily used of God. We have some Esthers today that God has raised up that are affecting entire areas for the glory of God. All because they were willing to give themselves wholly to the Lord. Amen? Well, I tell you, it excites me. This morning when I saw the army of young people that came down here, I thought to myself, boy, this church has a future. Amen? This church has a future. And this afternoon I was asking God, God, you know every one of those young people by name. And you know what you can do with them. And I'm asking you to put your hand upon them. Deal with them. Stir them. When I was in youth work, there was a young man from Southern California. His name was Cunningham. Lorne Cunningham was the decap. They called it youth leader today, I believe. I don't know what you call them in the state here. What are they?
District Youth Director.
Back in those days, we didn't call them that. But Lorne was the decap of Southern California. I was of Louisiana. We became friends. And Lorne said to me, he said, Marvin, I have such a burden to take young people and to train them and thrust them into ministry around the world. And he says, I see your heart. I know where you stand. He said, I would like to have a trial run in New Orleans. Would you be open for that? And I said, yeah, Lorne. So during the Christmas holidays, we brought in young people from all across the nation. I had 150-something from Louisiana that came in, and he raised up another 150 that came from all parts of the U.S., and in the morning, we trained them. In the afternoon, they went on the streets and from door to door. Whatever that they had, the sugar bowl, we had them all down on the street. They were witnessing. And they brought people to church that night because we had church going on in several of the churches, and we were preaching in those churches to a revival. That was the first one. Youth for a Mission today covers the globe. There is no place in the world where young men and women sold out to God are not living there, working, reaching people for God. It's called Youth for a Mission. Amen. The thing I want you to see is, one young man with a burden. Loren Cunningham, when he went to his state authority and told them what he wanted to do, they put thumbs down. He had to leave the Assemblies of God to start it because they were afraid the program would interfere with the youth program of the Assemblies of God. It wasn't because the AG were mean. They were just trying to protect what they had. But Loren said, God has spoken to my heart, and Marvin, I must obey. About 3 years ago, Loren and I were preaching a convention together. And I was sitting beside him. We were speakers, and we had a certain place where we were seating. And he turned to me and he says, Marvin, we've come a long way since we went to New Orleans that had that first Youth for a Mission meeting. YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And I said, yeah, we have. He says, Marvin, we now have in every country of the world YWAM workers. He says, we own two big medical ships that sail the seas, and wherever there is a tragedy, you'll find YWAM showing up with their medical staff, with their hospital on that boat, taking care of people. They have another big freight line that carries food to many parts of the world. And it started out with one man, brother. One young man that if the truth was known at the time he and I first talked about it, he didn't have enough money to pay the rent for 6 months straight. Just a poor boy, but he had a vision. You know what? It makes you think of Joseph. Joseph wasn't a rich man. He's just a young man, willing to listen to God and to obey God. Moses certainly wasn't a rich man. But he listened to God, and under the leadership of God, he led the people out of bondage. Amen. What I want you to see tonight is that it doesn't take an army to get it done. Amen. We think, oh, we had this and we had that, if we had the other. And God's saying, if I can find a man, if I can find a person, I can get it done. Amen. Amen? I can work through that person to accomplish what I need. Hallelujah. You know, God has allowed me, and some of you may think I'm bragging, but that's your problem. I'm just a country boy. Grew up on a farm. George and I, our father, all of our young years, was an alcoholic. I led him to Christ when he was on his deathbed. God did allow him to get up, go back into our little hometown of Hampton, and he witnessed to people all over Hampton about how God had set him free. He never desired liquor again. And When I went to New Orleans, you know, I never dreamed I'd go to a place like that. I never dreamed. Where do you take hold of it to start to work in a city like New Orleans? What kind of program do you start? And I cried, and I prayed, and I sought God, and I fasted, and said, God, you know. I remember one day I was praying, and I said, God, you could take your little finger and break this thing wide open. And I said, whatever you want me to do to see revival, tell me. And he spoke to me to fast and pray. And he, by the power of the Spirit, spoke to me to go on television. What in the name of Pete is a guy from Calhoun, Arkansas, Hampton, Calhoun County, doing on TV? And he raised me up and let me go on TV across the nation and in other parts of the world. And then he spoke to me. And he says, I want you to have a healing service. That don't sound tough, does it? Just to have a healing service? And I told him I would. And he told me to announce it. And I started to announcing it on television, on radio. I began to promote it. Tell people that I was going to pray for the sick. And God was going to heal. And you know, I set a date for that to take place. And some of you may have heard this before, but if you have, just chin up and hear it again. Amen. And God spoke to me and I began to promote it. And on a Sunday morning that I was going to have the service, that night. See, when I was advertising it, I was going to advertise it that I'd be praying for the sick Sunday night. And God said, no. Pray for them Sunday morning. And then I had a big problem. I had to explain to God that Assemblies of God people didn't pray for the sick on Sunday morning. They prayed for them Sunday night. Now, this was a big deal back when I was a teenager. They even had it published in the Pentecostal Evangel that Sunday night was evangelistic service, healing, and deliverance. And here God's telling me to go against what my organization was doing. But God won, and I ran the ad. That I'd be praying for the sick at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I just knew I was going to get a lot of criticism for that because the AG just didn't do that then. That morning at right about 7 o'clock, my phone rang. And I answered it, and the guy on the other end says, are you the one going to be praying for the sick And I said, well, I'm going to be praying for sick, but I said, so are several other pastors. He said, are you the one who ran the ad in the paper? I said, I ran an ad in the paper, but so did many other churches. See, I'd been in New Orleans long enough to know you don't tell everything you know at one lick. And he said to me, he said, are you the one that's going to pray for the people at 11 o'clock this morning? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, will you pray for someone who's not a member of your church? And I said, yeah. He said, will you pray for a Roman Catholic? And I said, yeah. And then the Spirit checked me and says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so I said, but I want them to be in my Bible class at 10 o'clock this morning and hear me teach. And then I'll be praying for the sick around 11. He says, well, my wife has had 5 strokes. She can't move her arms and legs. She can move one hand just a little, her right hand, just a little. He said, will you pray for her? And I said, yeah. He said, I'll get my neighbors to help me bring her. That morning when I walked in the church, seated back near the back was a couple I'd never seen before. And I started walking back there. And when I got back in about 10 feet of them, the odor of liquor was almost overpowering to me. The man was drunk. His neighbors had brought her in. I have never seen a woman whose face was as disfigured. I'd never seen anybody. She had no control over her lips. The saliva was dropping down, and the people who brought her in had made a little basket out of a brown paper bag and put beside her and set a box of Kleenex in her lap. And she'd take a Kleenex and hold it like this to keep from getting her clothes wet. When the Kleenex got wet, she'd drop it over in the bag and pull up another Kleenex. I'd never seen anything like that. And I walked there and I looked at her. And then I had to go in the back to take care of some other matters. And so I started to walk away. And this thought came to me and I said it under my breath. I said, if I hadn't run that stupid ad in the paper, she wouldn't be here. You say, you didn't have the faith she's going to be healed? I certainly didn't. I'd been to Oral Roberts meetings. I'd been to Jack Cole. I'd been to several of the great men of faith. And I'd never seen anyone heal like that woman was. And when I got up to preach, the Lord said to me, pray for the sick now. I hadn't preached nothing. And I called 2 ushers and said, would you please bring, I'd learned her name, Mrs. Lococo, to the front. And 2 men went there and literally lifted her up and brought her down. And we had a little altar in the front. And they set her on the altar facing the congregation. And I thought to myself, you stupid ushers. Why did you set her like that? Why didn't you put her back to the audience so when I pray for her, if nothing happens, I'll have a moment to get my composure? And someone said, you didn't expect her to get healed? I certainly didn't. I didn't think she was going to be healed at all. So I got up and I walked over to her. And I said to her, Ms. Lococo, I said, the Lord told me to pray for you. And I put my finger on her head like this. And I did like all good Pentecostal people do. I shut both eyes. You know that's the way you pray. He says watch and pray, but we don't obey him. We shut our eyes every time. And so I'm standing there. I don't know what I said. It's something simple. And I felt her jerk. And so I opened one eye. And I looked down and I saw her moving her hand. And then I opened the other eye. Just as I opened the other eye, she raised both hands straight up. Amen. And then I saw, and because she was facing the audience, they saw her lips straighten. Her face straightened up. They saw her as she was totally healed. You talk about building faith in the lives of the people. They witnessed it themselves. They saw it. And then she stood up. Now, this is the first time she stood in 5 years. So she stood up and she kind of wiggled her feet a little. She out of balance. And then she shuffled like this. And then she started walking. Amen. And she walked back and forth across the front of the church and then to the back of the church, totally healed by the power of God. Well, the people were shouting so. Her husband had gone to sleep. He was drunk. And it woke him up. And he saw Mama down there walking. So he gets up and comes to the front. And he takes a candle out of his pocket and a cigarette lighter. And is trying to light it to put it on the altar. Now, anybody who knows anything about Catholic, if they want a prayer answered, they burn a candle. If they want to praise God, they burn a candle. They are candle-burning people. Someone got to him and told him, said, oh, sir, we don't do that here. He said, oh, I'm sorry. And he backed up and sat down on the front pew. And he sat there. Now, he's still drunk. But his wife is totally healed. I didn't know these people. I'd never seen them before. They were prominent business people in the city of New Orleans. They were known throughout the city. They were entrenched in Catholicism. I believe it was three sisters that were nuns. One brother was a priest in their family. So God has hit right in the middle of Catholicism. Amen? They couldn't deny the healing. So the next day, they get up. Now the husband's still drunk. But they get in the car and Mama drives. And they go to places of business. And they told me this story. They said, when we'd drive up and Mama'd get out of the car, they'd do a double take. Because the word was out that she was dying, which she was. But God healed her. And then the drunk evangelist took over. When they said, Mama, we thought you were dying. And here you are walking. And the drunk husband says, the little preacher put his hand on mama and mama got well. End the message. They went throughout the city telling business people. In 1 year, they brought 38 business families into our church. It was never small again. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, all it took was one country boy listening to God and doing what God told him to do. Amen? I had no abilities to do this. All I could do was obey. And God helped me to obey. And that's what brought tremendous revival to New Orleans. This morning, when I looked over here and saw all of those fine young people, then I had them come to the front and they lined from here all the way to the other side. All of those young people, I thought, what an army. What one young person could do if they would just hear God and offer themselves to God. Amen? That's all I did. As a teenage boy, I offered myself to God and told Him I wanted to be used by Him. I wanted Him to lead me and direct me and to talk to me. And because of that, He has allowed me to see some of the greatest healings that you can imagine. The power of God, I've seen people not only healed, but I've seen thousands and thousands saved. I was preaching a minister's conference in Africa. And the Lord spoke to me to talk to them about the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost could do in the life of a pastor. And when I finished my message, a young black man standing down near the front raised his hand. And I said, yes, sir. He says, why is it I can't speak in tongues? And I took about 20 minutes and explained to them how they could receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. My wife was with me. My oldest son was with me. They saw them. There was over 10,000 ministers there. They started running to the front. Running to the front. We saw over 3,000 preachers get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a greater thrill to a Pentecostal preacher than winning the Super Bowl. Amen. That was a Super Bowl. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say to you is, this, as I told you this morning, is a very difficult time. It's perilous times. You can't sit around waiting for someone else to say, yea, Lord, here am I, send me. You've got to stand yourself and say, God, here I am. Do with me whatever you want to. Amen? Someone says, Brother Gorman, what are you going to do if ISIS comes in here? I'm going to pray harder than I pray now. I have no word from God that He's going to protect me. I believe that He will. But this I do have. He says, I'll be with you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And I believe that. I've been in some difficult situations, but I've never been in a spot where He didn't stand with me. Amen. And the greatest security you can have is Him being with you. Tonight, I'm going to give you a chance to come and to offer yourself. And I'm going to do what I did this morning. First of all, I'm going to call for those of you that's 25 years of age and younger that want God to take you. I want you to come first and line across the front. Would you mind keeping the lights on bright? Please. Thank you, young people. Thank you so much. Here is the key. To great things happening. Young people, what Brother Gorman preached tonight is true. I saw my first outstanding miracle when I was 16. Is anybody up here 16 years of age? Would you wave at me if you're 16? The age of these young men down here. That's what I was when I saw my first miracle. Since that time, I've seen miracles of every description you can think of. I've had God to speak to me. I've cast out demons. Demons that were talking back to me. And God has given me power over them to see people set free. Young people, the greatest thing that could happen to you is to be used by God. There's no greater feeling. There's no greater joy. Amen. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but are any of you standing here feel that you're called to the ministry? I thought that was true. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. You think that I'm going to say it's easy. It's not. Because you got to give it all. Amen. But oh, the joy that you will have by seeing God work in your lives. Amen. Young people, we're going to pray for you again. I want dedicated adults to walk up here behind these young people. Listen to me. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about serving God. I really didn't know how to pray. But through the years, I've learned a lot of things. See, Jesus is right here with you. Now, if you were going to talk to me, you wouldn't say, "Oh, dear Brother Gorman, would you please help me?" You would just say, "Brother Gorman, I have some needs. I have some desires. I understand you can help me with it. And I'm asking you to speak to me and to show me." Talk to him. Talk to him. That's what he wants. He wants you to talk to him. Amen? Speak it from your heart. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to just lift your hands and just talk to him, baby. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to him, young people. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. I want you. I need you. I give myself to you. I want to be used by you. Show me what you want me to do, and I will obey. I will be true to you, Lord. I will be true. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless these precious young people. Bless each one of them. Lord, help them, O God, as they give themselves to you. Make yourself real to them. Make yourself real to them, O God. Halkamoroko toriande. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. I yield to you. I give myself to you. Lord, I just ask you to take me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. Make me to know it. Amen. Hallelujah. Young people, look at me. I want to tell you something. When I was about your age, how old are you?
18.
18. When I was about that age, I made a deal with God. And I said to him, "Lord, when you want to talk to me at night, wake me up and I'll get up and I'll pray. And I'll wait before you." It's amazing how he will wake you up. And if you will obey, he'll meet you there. He'll manifest himself to you. Hallelujah. I don't want you to get religious. Religion won't get it. See, it's that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Knowing him personally. And don't be afraid to explain to him, "Lord, this is what I'm going through. I know you know it, but I want you to hear it from me. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm facing. And I just need you to talk to me, to show me. Speak to me any way you want to. In a dream, through other people. However you want to speak to me, and I promise you, Lord, I'll obey." If you'll do that, I'm telling you, you'll develop an intimate relationship with the Lord that will cause you to have faith beyond anything you've ever had. Amen. You'll know that he's right there, that he's with you. That he's helping you. So don't fear to talk to him. Hallelujah. I love you. I'm so proud of this group of young people. And I say that very sincerely. I just want to see you grow up to be everything God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Don't let anything hold you back. Hallelujah. And look, don't let people offend you. If somebody hurt you, be quick to say, I love you. You say, what if I don't mean it? Pray till you do. Amen. That's right. Pray till you do. God, I used to pray and say, Lord, baptize me in love and compassion. And when I was praying that, I would envision that I was in a big pool of water. And it was filled up with love and compassion. And I would say to God, hold me under until I'm saturated inside and out with love and compassion. You know, when God taught me to pray that way and I prayed through, I've never met anyone I don't love. When I tell you young people I love you, some of you may say, you don't even know me. That's right. But I love you. I really do. You're precious. Amen. As mischievous as you are, I love you. Amen. You got more pranks up your sleeve than Carter's got little pills. I love you. Love all of you young people. Thank you for being here tonight.